Welcome to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Christian Research Institute President Hank Hanegraaff. Our mission at CRI is not only to equip you with Orthodox Christian doctrine, apologetic accuracy and discernment, but to help you become a faithful apprentice of Jesus Christ because life and truth matter. If you'd like to ask Hank a question, please call in now at 888-ASK-HANK. That's 888-275-4265. For more information about CRI and the Bible Answer Man broadcast, go to our website at equip.org. And now, here's Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you so much, Randy. A quick reminder that we'll be going to your calls in just a few moments, but I want to open the broadcast today by once again underscoring the New York Times best-selling book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven. It is the story of Alex Malarkey. But as I mentioned on yesterday's broadcast, there's a backstory. And that backstory you can find on the web at equip.org. Alex has endured not only a horrific set of injuries, but he is now enduring having his journey capitalized on. Alex, because of the accident that he endured when he was 6 years old, is a quadriplegic. And his struggles are not past tense, and nor is the story of Alex Malarkey. And the ones making money from the book, The Boy Who Came Back from Heaven, are not the ones staying up through the night. They are not the ones struggling for their breath. Nor were they the ones at 6 years old waking up unable to move or breathe. And these are not my words. These are the words of Beth Malarkey, Alex's mother. She goes on to say that Alex did not write the book, and that the book is not blessing him, and that the publishers of the book know that very thing, that Alex's name and identity are being used against his wishes. She writes, Alex has tried to publicly speak out against the book. He is opposed to it. He knows it to be an error according to the Bible. How can this be going on? She says, how did it get this far? The backstory again on the web at equip.org, but here you have a quadriplegic being merchandised, going through the horror, the agony of knowing that the book that bears his name, along with his father's name, Kevin, is a book that distorts the biblical view of the afterlife. This young boy is a hero, in my view, because he loves truth, and he is tormented by the fact that truth is being twisted. And this is the same thing that is happening, of course, with Heaven is for Real. The truth is being twisted, not only in the book, but in the movie co-produced by T.D. Jakes, a prosperity preacher. And by the way, he is a prosperity preacher who crafts God in the image of human beings. When T.D. Jakes gets done with God, you have a God who is altogether different than the God of the Bible. Jakes is convinced that humans were created directly out of God. And so as to leave no doubt, Jakes provides an exposition directly from the mouth of the Almighty. This is a classic example of the chickens coming back to roost. You have a prosperity preacher, part of the Osteenification of American Christianity, co-producing a film that has captivated the world. 88%, according to Good Morning America, 88% of people they polled believe this is the real deal. It's an even higher percentage in Christian circles. You can imagine why I'm getting the backlash I'm getting. T.D. Jakes says, God said. In other words, God has directly communicated this to the co-producer of Heaven Is For Real. God said, I wanted to see what I looked like. So I made you, Adam, to be in my image. You have my DNA. You were created out of me. You are a derivative of me. You are my picture in the earth. No wonder you have a movie in which you have a God who has yellow hair and blue eyes, a God who has physical form. This is no accident. This comes out of a message which has been percolating in the evangelical Christian community for years and years and years. Many of you will remember Kenneth Copeland, who claims that God is a being who stands somewhere around 6'2", 6'3", weighs somewhere in the neighborhood of a couple of hundred pounds, a little better, and has a hand span of 9 inches across. Imagine teaching this in your home and then having a near-death experience. Benny Hinn takes the stories to an even more fanciful extreme. He not only remakes the Holy Spirit in the image of a man, but he claims to know what the Holy Spirit is wearing. Quick guess, it's probably blue. According to Hinn, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are three separate individuals. One in essence, one in work, and may I add, says Hinn, each one of them possesses his own spirit body. Of course, the assertion that each member of the Trinity has his own distinct spirit body implies that there are three separate and distinct beings. In other words, three gods. And that unbiblical view, called tritheism, runs contrary to the whole of Scripture, which affirms one God revealed in three persons who are eternally distinct. Any kind of a doctrine that shrinks God to the status of a man destroys an essential of the historic Christian faith. How is it possible that Christian publishers don't know this? People who are publishing Bibles. No one who loves the truth should simply look the other way and pretend that the travesty of truth is of little consequence. Because once the nature of God is twisted, we've defarted Christianity and we've headed for the kingdom of the cults. The deity of these ministers, T.D. Jakes, etc., not only is incoherent and confusing with their own theologies in some places, but it contradicts the Bible and it bears little resemblance to the God who has revealed himself to us in the pages of Scripture. The minute God in this mythology is assigned physical qualities such as height and weight. And when that happens, he by definition is not the God of Scripture. As Jesus himself has said, God is spirit. So what's happening in the evangelical Christian world? We have the Osteenification of American Christianity. And I'm telling you, if you think the culture is in a sad condition, the Christian church, which is lapping this stuff up, is an even sadder condition and is in no place to be a change agent in the world. Now, I'm parking on this for a reason. If we don't wake up, we are going to lose our heritage. We are going to lose our ability to be change agents in the culture. All one has to do is wake up and smell the roses. Look at television programs in which the secular community is now embracing, for all kinds of different reasons, embracing things that can be monetized. T.D. Jakes is a man who has made a cottage industry out of saying ridiculous things and doing ridiculous things. I mean, the examples could be multiplied. Here's just one.
Loose him and let him go. Loose him and let him go. Let him go. Turn him loose. Turn our brothers loose. Turn our brothers loose. Turn our brothers loose. Turn them loose right now. Right now, right now, right now. My God, my God, my God, the anointing is all over you. The anointing is over you. The anointing is over you. Right now, in Jesus' name.
Let's cut this one down. I mean, there are so many others. I mean, this is one of his exorcisms, but here's another one where T.D. Jakes is using a get-to-give scheme to manipulate his devotees.
I want to pray over your seed, and it would be ridiculous for me to pray that God would give it back to you. Because if all he was going to do was give it back to you, you ought to keep it, and then you just have it. That's ridiculous. If you got $100 or $1,000, and you're going to give $1,000, and I tell you, well, God's going to give you the $1,000 back, well, you just broke even. You could have kept the $1,000 and not gone through the trouble. Come on, church folks. But God is going to give you some more on top of that. And as you sow it, I dare you to say it again. Oh, my God. We're about to get ours in here. I don't know what you're getting out there. But we're about to, somebody shout, increase!
Again, this is T.D. Jakes. And a classic example of the ostentification of American Christianity, a give-to-get scheme. So you don't give because you're trying to extend his kingdom. You don't give because you are wanting to meet the needs of other people, but you're giving so that you can get. And he's as bold as to say, if you give $1,000 and you only get back $1,000, it's ridiculous. Why? Because you only broke even. Is this why we give? I am so distressed over how this co-producer of Heaven is for Real is manipulating his flock, not only through his own personal ministry, but also through the movie now. And you see the impact on kids. And we'll see later on the impact in probably more stark detail. Already we see the impact on Alex. It breaks my heart. I don't know what else to say. It just breaks my heart. I'm so happy that we put out the ostentification of American Christianity for this very reason. So that you not only can hear what these prosperity preachers are peddling, but so you'll understand the antidote as well. The ostentification of American Christianity, available for your gift, not only as a book, but also as a CD, as a download, and 100%, all, everything of what comes in when you get the ostentification of American Christianity, goes towards the ministry outreaches of the Christian Research Institute so that we continue to be a light in this encroaching darkness. This darkness which has literally compromised the very nature of God. And again, I am so grieved, not only over the compromise, the contradiction of essential Christian doctrine, but I am grieved, deeply grieved, that so many Christians, many in my listening audience, have uncritically bought into the skin of the truth stuffed with a great big lie. And I suppose I'm as emotional about anything as I am about Alex, who's being merchandised against his will, as his mother writes. We're coming up to a station break. We'll be back on the other side of the break with answers to your questions right here on the Bible Answer Man broadcast. To get your question answered live on air, you can call 888-ASK-HANK. Do remember our contact information on the web, equip.org, via the mailbox, 8500 Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. And as always, resource consultants are available, 888-7000 in the letter CRI.
God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them. That's why we want to help you stand for truth by sending you a copy of a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Go online at equip.org with your gift and request it. Equip.org. Stay with us. There's more from Hank coming up next. New atheists and best-selling authors such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett often point to the God of the Old Testament to justify their claims about the implausibility of his existence and the stupidity of those who believe in God. But rather than fall for their rhetoric and emotive stereotypes presented by Dawkins and others, we must commit ourselves to become so familiar with the truth that we recognize lies about God instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's book called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God is a reassuring and helpful tool that will help you do this. That's why we hope you'll request a copy today as our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Charles Darwin knew that the predictions of his theory of gradual evolution were not fulfilled by discoveries in the fossil record, but he hoped that the gaps would be filled over time. Today, the same problems remain unresolved, while formidable new problems confront his theory from advances in genetics. Other topics include heroes or villains, a Christian assessment of hacktivism, being single in Christ, reanimating apologetics with the undead, one taken, the other left, who will be left behind, is the divorced pastor the husband of one wife, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, reasonable, and readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. Thank you. Many people carry around highly destructive beliefs about God that are endorsed by popular atheists of our day. And tragically, they never truly experience intimacy with the Creator of their souls. We want to help you see through any lies you might carry around about God with a powerful book by Paul Copan called, Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. Let's return to your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy. Also do want to remind everyone that for those who join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, I would be pleased to send you a copy of my book, Afterlife, which deals not only with heaven and hell, so that you can fully understand the afterlife, but also deals with near-death experiences. It answers all the salient issues so that you can know beyond the shadow of a doubt the difference between the biblical view of heaven and the one that is portrayed in books like Proof of Heaven by Eben Alexander, or Heaven is for Real by Todd and Colton Burpo, or Betty Eady's Embraced by the Light, Betty Eady, of course, a Mormon, or Raymond Moody's book, Life After Life. You can understand near-death experiences, you can contextualize them, and hopefully, after reading the entries in Afterlife, you will never again fall for this kind of a travesty. And that is precisely what it is. A lot of you hanging on, we'll go right to the phone calls. First up is Rosemary. Rosemary's listening in Atwater, California on Bot Radio. Hi, Rosemary.
Hi, Hank. How are you?
I'm good, thank you.
Thank you for taking my call. My question has to do with people being gods, and this is how it started. I send people a Bible verse every day, and on Easter Sunday, the verse that came up was, for God so loved the world that he sent his only son. And this one person that I send the verse to texted me back and said that he thought that was a very controversial verse, because he felt that he said he was God's son, just like Jesus was, and he was co-heir with Jesus, and that he could do anything that Jesus did, because Jesus said that when he left that we would be able to do greater things. So I text back and I said, yeah, we're all God's children, but we all have to accept Christ as our Savior before we become his children. We're adopted. And then he came on with a lot of other stuff, and he gave me Romans 8:16-17. And the first one that he said was Psalm 82, and he said that was his main scripture for believing as he did. And that really got me to thinking a lot, because he said little g, of course, but that really bothered me for some reason, because I don't know. What do you say about that?
Well, it's an interesting verse, because Jesus actually quotes this very passage, and he does so in ironic fashion. He's making a point, and the point quite simply is this, that those who think that they are gods, those who represent God to the people, are going to die like the mere men that they are. And that is precisely what you find in Psalm 82. God presides in the great assembly. He gives judgment among the gods. And these gods here are representatives of God to the people of God. And yet, the grave will show them to be precisely what they are, mere men. So to take this in a wooden literalistic fashion completely misses the point of the passage. I mean, think about the way gods as a word is used in the scripture. Moses is called a god to the people. Satan is called the god of this world. But the Bible also says, before me no god was formed, nor will there be one after me. So when people take a word and then ascribe to that word the qualities or the DNA of deity, they are grossly mistaken. They are distorting the word of God. It is true that we are reflections of God in that we reflect his communicable attributes. For example, we respect his love. We reflect will. So we reflect that which is a communicable attribute of God, but not an incommunicable attribute of God. Which one of us is omniscient? Which one of us is omnipresent? Which one of us can raise the dead? So we are reflections of God, but we are most certainly not reproductions of God. And to suggest that we are is simply to not know how to read the scripture for all it's worth.
I sent all those arguments back to him, and he retorted that I was wrong and I hadn't gotten to the point where I was completely enlightened, that I was still in the dark.
Well, if Jesus was teaching that men are gods, then he's seriously confused because he previously taught that there's only one God. Is Jesus seriously confused? I mean, that's the question that ultimately he has to answer. But look, this is a common situation where you can be equipped to communicate, as you have very well done. You can be equipped to communicate, but you can't change anybody's heart. You can't change anybody's mind. And that's never been our prerogative. That is the prerogative of the Holy Spirit. What we are called to do is to be prepared, always ready to give an answer, a reason for the hope that lies within us with gentleness and with respect. We need to be prepared. You are prepared. And that's all you're called to be. Again, the change of heart in this man's attitude and this man's belief structure is not up to you. It ultimately is up to the Holy Spirit.
Right. So are there verses that I can give him to further show him that he needs to maybe study the Bible more? And he told me that he reads the Bible every day, so he knows the Bible really well.
Well, to read the Bible is not to know the Bible. I was really moved when I got this letter from Beth Malarkey and then read what she had communicated. What she communicated is that she had read her Bible, but she had not really studied her Bible. She had listened to teachings, but probably enjoyed more ear tickling, she says, than I was even aware of. And she repented for that, and she said she was in deep sorrow over that, and she was thankful that God is merciful and patient. So she read the Bible, but the real issue became studying the Bible. And what does that mean? It means that you learn the art and science of biblical interpretation. If you know the art and science of biblical interpretation, there's no possibility that you can take the words of Jesus Christ in John chapter 10, where he's quoting Psalm 82, and out of that get that we are somehow or other the DNA of God. Because God doesn't die. And yet the grave shows the difference between God and the mere men who represent him, and in this case, falsely, to the people.
Right, you're right, of course. Yeah.
And again, is Satan God? I mean, the Bible says very clearly in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I believe, that Satan is the god of this world. So is Satan God? Moses was called a god to the people in Exodus chapter 4. Again, we are not reproductions of God. We are reflections of God. We have his communicable attributes. That's what they're called theologically, communicable and incommunicable attributes. We have personality, spirituality, rationality, including knowledge and wisdom. This is the reflection of God in humanity. This is the imago Dei, the image of God in man. But we're not little gods because we're not of the DNA of God. God is an altogether other being, and the chasm between what God is and what we are cannot be bridged. Now, it's true that Jesus took on an additional nature in the incarnation. And so theologically, we say that Jesus Christ is one person with two natures, 100% human, 100% divine. And we admit that what we say is said on the basis of what Scripture says, but not fully comprehended, because God is beyond our ken. This is one of the reasons we know that we are not gods ourselves.
He also said that every person in the world was God's son.
But this is an equivocation. If you look in Scripture, you will find that Adam is referred to as the Son of God. In fact, the term Son of God appears 45 times in the New Testament, but think about this, 44 times it refers to Jesus Christ. The lone reference that doesn't refer to Jesus Christ is the reference to Adam in Luke chapter 3. But as you correctly said in the prologue to your question, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. And as the Son of God, He has the eternal divine perfection of God, and He is equal to God. Perish the thought that we are equal to God. So Son is not meant in a physical sense. It signifies that He shares the same nature with God the Father. He is the exact representation of God, as Colossians 2 puts it. So I think you did a great job, but you can't change his mind.
No, and I'm not going to try to. I just asked him again, was he open to me continuing to send him verses? Because I feel that God can speak through his word, and maybe he'll send one that will really touch his heart. That, no, you're absolutely right.
I love the fact that's what where your heart is, that you want to touch his heart. That's your desire. But don't put a burden on yourself that you weren't meant to bear, and that is the burden of trying to change anybody's heart. Again, that is the province of the Holy Spirit. I think it's just wonderful, and it gladdens my heart that you are equipped, and you demonstrated the fact that you were equipped in the prologue to your question. So you brighten my day just by that.
Well, thank you so much. I'm really, really gratified in what you said. And I will be calling you again because I do have another question to ask you. So go on to your other listeners, and I really, truly appreciate your ministry, and I really will try to support you if I can get some money together.
Well, and if you don't you don't have financial resources, please pray for us. We do believe that prayer is firing the winning shot, and we would really covet your prayers right now.
I always do pray for your ministry, and I'm really, really edified by it. So God bless you and keep you on the air for a long time.
Thank you, Rosemary. Appreciate that. And one of the features that I have been talking about over the last few months is my new daily e-truth. I'm very excited about it. Tomorrow I'm going to go back into the studio and do some more short videos. We send them every day to your inbox, either the videos or written text, where we answer questions that are germane. In other words, they connect with where we are in the culture. They connect with where you are in your life. To subscribe, it's free. All you have to do is go to equip.org/e-truth, and you can have them delivered direct to your inbox. As mentioned, we need your prayers and support. If you can join the monthly Bible Answer Man support team, be just delighted to send you a personalized copy to you, a family member, or a friend of my book, Afterlife. It is in bookstores now, and it's a book that hits the mark when it comes to near-death experiences, but also heaven and hell. Be right back.
It's often the most vitriolic notions of God that get the most play in academia, politics, media, and thus the home. And that's why many people carry around untrue beliefs about Him. But we want to help you see truth clearly by sending you a powerful book by Paul Copan called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI with your gift and request it. 888-7000-CRI. We'll be back with Hank Hanegraaff right after this. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan, called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God. Biblical, Reasonable, and Readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Is hacker activism the most heroic use of the internet? Liberating data, exposing lies, speaking truth to power? Or is it the most corrupting side of cyberspace? Stealing data, telling secrets, and endangering citizens? Although hacktivism has received much media attention, it has received little moral scrutiny. Other topics include Darwin's doubt and the case for intelligent design, the Ten Commandments of apologetics, was Hitler a Christian, same-sex marriage and today's church, is it silly to believe in Noah's flood, and much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org. That's equip.org. New atheists and best-selling authors such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett often point to the God of the Old Testament to justify their claims about the implausibility of his existence and the stupidity of those who believe in God. But rather than fall for their rhetoric and emotive stereotypes presented by Dawkins and others, we must commit ourselves to become so familiar with the truth that we recognize lies about God instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's book called Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God is a reassuring and helpful tool that will help you do this. That's why we hope you'll request a copy today as our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. Call 888-7000-CRI, 888-7000-CRI, or go online at equip.org. Rather than fall for the emotional rhetoric presented by new atheists such as Richard Dawkins, Sam Harris, and Daniel Dennett, we must become so familiar with the truth, we recognize their lies instantly when they surface. Paul Copan's remarkable book titled, Is God a Moral Monster? Will help you do just that. And this reassuring resource is our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and this Bible Answer Man broadcast. So go online at equip.org with your gift and request it. Equip.org. Now let's rejoin your host, Hank Hanegraaff.
Thank you very much, Randy, and we'll go right back to our phone callers. Next up is James. He's listening in Charlotte, North Carolina, on the web. Hi, James.
Hey, Hank. My question is, when we pray, can the devil pose as parody of God?
Well, look, what Satan can do is he can influence our thoughts. And this is the very reason that we're told to put on the full armor of God. And let me add very quickly that we cannot know of a certainty whether this is the world, the flesh, or the devil. And therefore, what we do is we simply take the antidote that we have been given, which is the full armor of God. So if we have a thought that is in our mind with respect to, let's say, the nature of God, that God is a man like we are, well, it could be the world. It could be the movies we're watching. It could be the flesh, the fact that we're not studying the Bible. It could be Satan influencing our thoughts, but the antidote is always the same. It is to put on the full armor of God. And in this case, we need to put on the belt of truth. As I've said many times, in an age in which internet fabrications travel halfway around the world before truth has had the chance to put its boots on, I think Paul's words in Ephesians chapter 6 ring through the centuries with added urgency. Stand firm then with the belt of truth buckled around your waist. Because as your waist is the center of your body, so truth is central to the full armor of God. And without it, the full armor of God that protects you from the devil's schemes simply crumples to the ground and it leaves you naked and vulnerable. This is again why it's more important for us to put on the full armor of God than to discern whether this is the world, the flesh, or the devil.
Yeah, you would think that we would have a protective hedge while we praying, because I'm thinking that a lot of Christians can be deceived. If we go into the throne of God and ask him for a decision on a particular matter, how can we differentiate between...
Well, you do have that. That's precisely what I'm saying, is you do have a protective hedge. In fact, let me go so far as to say that if you put on the full armor of God as you were instructed to in Scripture, then you're invincible in spiritual warfare. If you do not, you are a guaranteed casualty. You will fall for all kinds of things. I guess, as I was talking about earlier on in the broadcast, Heaven Is For Real is a classic case in point. People have not put on the belt of truth. They haven't put on the full armor of God, and therefore they are falling for this satanic subterfuge.
Right, and I was thinking what you were trying to say is that the belt of truth is the actual word of God. But some of the matters that are gray, you know, how can we differentiate, you know, what is of God? Because, for instance, I pray to God, and actually I prayed twice on the same matter and got two different contradictory answers. And I was like, well, which one do I believe?
Well, you didn't get two different contradictory answers from God. You had two impressions that were contradictory. I mean, again, what we need to do ultimately is understand the roadmap that God has given to us. And then he directs us step by step. He directs a moving ship. He directs someone who moves in concert with his will and his purposes. But he never gives us contradictory impressions. In fact, the very fact that they're contradictory is a clear indication that they can't both be from God. I mean, if you look at near-death experiences that I've been talking about, that's one of the points I make over and over again. All these near-death experiencers have these contradictory experiences. They are completely in contradiction, even the ones that come through Christian books. Now, they can all be wrong, but they can't all be right. If you want to know what is right, then you have to know the principles of the Word of God, and that ultimately gives you a plumb line. And when you have that plumb line and you speak to the Lord and you relate to him, recognizing that he's the lover of your soul, so it's not just to get him to do something for you, but it's to build a relationship with him, he will never mislead you, nor will he ever put a contradictory thought into your mind. He will guide you. He will guide you because you have established precept upon precept. Not only that, but you have come into relationship with a person. Let's move on to George in Kansas City, Missouri, listening on Bot Radio. Hi, George.
Hey, Hank. Thanks for taking my call.
My pleasure.
So my question has to do with Mormons and some of their beliefs. When I moved to Kansas City, I moved into an apartment complex where several Mormon young men are living on their lay mission. And so it wasn't before too long that they knocked on my door, and I've talked with them a couple times, and I've really come to like two beliefs they have that if you can refute that with solid biblical evidence to them, their belief system kind of crumbles. And the first is that both God the Father and Jesus Christ appear to Joseph Smith at the same time. And the second is this idea of a high priesthood. I don't remember the terminology they use, but that there has to be a prophet on the earth to lead God's people. And so since there wasn't one of those from the apostles to Joseph Smith, that the church was in disarray. And I've tried to the best of my ability using my biblical knowledge to explain that to them. And I don't think I've done a great job so far. So I wanted to know if you could help point me in the right direction with this.
Yeah, I think you're going in the right direction, first of all. And secondly, let me say that I did a flip chart called Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage. And one of the problems that you have in Mormonism is precisely what you've put your finger on. They have extra-biblical revelations, and those revelations contradict the Word of God. And what's interesting is that Mormonism has been utterly discredited in that the Book of Mormon, which they say is the most correct of any book on earth and the keystone to their religion, has been discredited both through anthropology and archaeology. The Bible, however, has been affirmed through both, and therefore we can know, not only on that basis, but on other sound argumentation, that the Bible is the infallible repository of redemptive revelation, but that the musings of Joseph Smith are not. They are hopelessly contradictory. And this is the beauty that we have with the Word of God. We have an unalterable authority for faith and practice. This is why we can't have new revelations in our time, because we do not have eyewitnesses who can corroborate the testimony given to us, which we have as now contained in the Word of God as a test. We can test all things in light of that objective frame of reference and then hold fast to that which is good. So if you test the Book of Mormon in light of Scripture, you find a different Jesus. You find a different God. You find a different way of salvation. You find that they have three different kinds of heaven and three levels of the highest heaven, the celestial heaven. So there are all kinds of things that you find which are extra-biblical revelations, including the discrepancies that you noted at the very outset in the prologue to your question. But I think that this Memorable Keys to the Mormon Mirage would be very helpful to you. If you hang on, I'd be happy to send a copy out to you. For everybody else listening in, it's a 4x6 laminated flip chart, and I actually use the acronym MORMON, so you can not only read, but you can remember. The whole idea is to master Mormonism's doctrinal deviations in minutes and be equipped to use the deviations as springboards for communicating biblical truth. And sometimes now when I talk about Mormonism, I feel almost embarrassed, because we have the Osteenification of American Christianity, which seems to take the whole thing to another level. Let's go back to the to our phone callers and talk to Tom in Leeds, UK, listening on the web. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Hank.
How are you?
Hello.
Hi.
Can you hear me?
I sure can. You're coming through loud and clear from the UK.
Fantastic. It's really surreal to talk to you, Hank, because my wife's a great fan. She's working through your books, and when she listens to this later, she's going to flip out. Anyway, I agree with you about heaven is for real. We don't have a big problem with it taking off yet in the UK. But my question was sort of related. If God, not as an actual incarnate Jesus, but if God can appear to people in the form of theophanies, however he wants, like he does in the Old Testament, why theoretically can't he appear to people personally in a way that is for them to keep for themselves and not, you know, say is a big revelation, but, you know, reveal himself? So why couldn't he reveal himself to this little boy in a way that little boy would recognize, not be scared by, you know, not for sharing or writing a book about, but just for him?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting question, because you do have precedent for this, don't you, in the Bible, where where Paul, he doesn't know whether he's in the body or out of the body, but he has a near-death experience, as it were, and he then goes to the third heaven. He goes to paradise, and there he encounters inexpressible realities. And they are inexpressible in that even as the apostle who wrote two-thirds of the New Testament epistles, he cannot talk about them. And so he had a personal revelation, but we have no knowledge about it whatsoever. So theoretically, can God appear to someone? Yes. Has God appeared to people in the past? Yes. However, one of the things that is very interesting to us is to read in Scripture what is said in the book of Acts by Peter, where he says, "Repent, then, and turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, that times of refreshing may come from the Lord, and that he may send the Christ who has been appointed for you, even Jesus. He must remain in heaven until the time comes for God to restore everything." And so the idea in the passage is that it is very unlikely, because we do not have eyewitnesses to the resurrection, that we're going to have some kind of a Christophany or a theophany happen such that it gives us new revelation. But there are things that God can do, but nothing that contradicts the Word of God. The real problem with heaven is for real is what is being expressed with respect to the nature of God, the nature of angels, etc., is in conflict with the Word of God. Wish I could talk to you longer, Tom. I am absolutely at the end of the broadcast. Thank you so much for calling. Say hello to your wife for me. We're going to stay right here for an extra hour once we go off the air, and we'll continue taking your calls. I'll try to get to as many as I can in the next hour. So if you're hanging on, do be patient. And if you're dialing in for the next hour, you can dial 888-ASK-HANK. That translates to 888-275-4265. Again, for the next hour, I'll be answering your calls when you call in your question.
You've been listening to the Bible Answer Man broadcast with Hank Hanegraaff. We pray that today's program has deepened your understanding of Scripture and helped you grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you'd like to contact CRI and order resources or partner with us financially, just go to equip.org. That's equip.org. Or call a resource consultant at 888-7000-274. You can also write to us at Post Office Box 8500, Charlotte, North Carolina, zip code 28271. The Bible Answer Man broadcast is funded by the Christian Research Institute, a ministry supported solely by listeners like you. We're on the air because life and truth matter. God is a bully, a murderer, and an oppressor. These are some of the most blatant and insidious lies about our Creator that exist today, yet millions believe them, and many Christians struggle to stand against them with truth. That's why we want to send you a copy of a powerful 252-page reassuring defense by Dr. Paul Copan called "Is God a Moral Monster? Making Sense of the Old Testament God." Biblical, Reasonable, and Readable, Is God a Moral Monster? Equips you to stand for truth about God with gentleness and respect, prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks the reason for the hope that you have. So please request your copy today. It's our gift to thank you for your donation to support the Christian Research Institute and the Bible Answer Man broadcast. So call 888-7000-CRI or go online to equip.org. The Christian Research Journal is CRI's award-winning magazine, combining eye-catching design with well-researched articles to equip believers in doctrine, defense, and discernment. Here's what you'll find in the latest issue of the Christian Research Journal. Charles Darwin knew that the predictions of his theory of gradual evolution were not fulfilled by discoveries in the fossil record, but he hoped that the gaps would be filled over time. Today, the same problems remain unresolved, while formidable new problems confront his theory from advances in genetics. Other topics include heroes or villains, a Christian assessment of hacktivism, being single in Christ, reanimating apologetics with the undead,
One taken, the other left. Who will be left behind? Is the divorced pastor the husband of one wife? And much more. Start your subscription to the Christian Research Journal today by calling 888-7000-CRI or subscribe online at equip.org.